If you've seen any movies about Jesus talking with people in his ministry, usually to be able to show some reverence, it looks like Jesus almost has a literal halo around his head, and everyone is being respectful and quiet, almost in a prayerful attitude, listening to him. That probably was not the case all the time. Jesus is in the midst of the towns and walking around along the lake shore. And people were probably whispering to each other during his storytelling. There was an interaction. So that's how we're going to do the scripture from Matthew today. When I hold this hand up, I'm inviting you to applaud and give praise in some way. Show agreement, okay? So when I hold this hand up, you'll do what? Yeah, that's right. And on the other hand, the people understood who Jesus was talking about that were not the heroes of the story, if you will. And they probably didn't boo, but they probably knew that he wasn't approving of them. We're going to boo about that by doing this with this hand. All right, now you're part of the scripture. You are part of the scene. The servant who had received one valuable coin dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of these servants returned and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 coins came forward with 5 additional coins. He said, "Master, you gave me 5 coins. Look, I've gained 5 more. And his master replied, "Excellent. You are a good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll put you in charge of much. Come and celebrate with me." Yay! And the second servant also came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 coins. Look, I gained 2 more. And his master replied, "Well done. You are a good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. Bless you. I'll put you in charge of much. Come and celebrate with me." Now the one who had received 1 coin came and said, "Master, I knew that you are a hard man. You harvest grain where you haven't sown. You gather crops where you haven't spread seed. And so I was afraid and hid my valuable coin in the ground. Here, take what's yours." And his master replied, "You evil and lazy servant. You knew that I harvest grain where I haven't sown, that I gather crops where I haven't spread seed. In that case, you should have turned my money over to the banker so that when I returned, you could give me what belongs to me with interest. Therefore, take the coin from him and give it to the one who has 10. Those who have much will receive more, and they will have more than they need. But for those who don't have as much, even the little bit they have will be taken away. Now take the worthless servant and throw him outside in the darkness. People there will be weeping and grinding their teeth." What? Applaud for that? I'm not sure about that, but Jesus, the people listening to Jesus understood who he was talking about. He was talking about the religious leaders who thought they were the 10-coin people, but were really the 1-coin people. And thought of God as being this strict taskmaster. And Jesus said, "Don't worry about it. They're going to get what's coming to them." Now, I don't know exactly what that means, except to say it's a human understanding of an emotion, isn't it? There's going to be justice, he's saying. Well, there are a few words that bring more exasperation to a shopper when you look at an advertisement in print or hear it on the media somehow. They get to the end of the advertisement or maybe down at the bottom of the page, and there are those 3 words that are almost always present. Some exclusions apply. And you can almost be guaranteed that the thing you were excited about is going to be in the exclusions. Now, I could have picked any of a number of examples of that. All the major companies do that, of course. But I happened to see this one on a coupon from Petco. And it says at the bottom of the page in print that is far smaller than the lowest line on the eye chart. It says, "Exclusions, cat litter, Dog litter. I didn't even know there was such a thing as dog litter. I have never used it. I've never seen it. Ice melter, wild bird food, live fish and rock, aquatic gravel and accents, crickets, live food and frozen food, products with the manufacturer minimum advertised price, out-of-stock items, donations, gift cards, e-gift cards, items shipped through white glove delivery. I had never heard of white glove delivery. I had to look it up. Apparently, for example, Petco would come and set up your aquarium personally, get it all set up, get the water in the way it's supposed to be. That's white glove delivery. Well, that's not included as well. Cat litter, dog litter, wild bird food, live and frozen food. I thought we did this already, but it says it again. And oversized items may incur an additional per item shipping and handling fee or surcharge. And then the last line says, additional exclusions may apply. So you go through all of those, and you don't still know at the end of it whether the item you want is included or excluded. Well, exclusions are embedded in our culture and in human relationships, sometimes unintentionally, but sometimes intentionally, sometimes unconsciously, but still sometimes rather consciously as well. Right from the very beginning of our nation, our Declaration of Independence said in part, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." Now, yes, they meant men and women, but that was not the situation at the beginning of the founding of our country. They should have put an asterisk by that phrase and put at the bottom, "Some exclusions apply." Because there were those. Women, for the most part, could not own property at all. And if you didn't own property, what else couldn't you do? You couldn't vote. It's kind of a neat way to take care of that problem, wasn't it? If a woman had a husband who died and they had children in the household, she would not become the person who's legally responsible for her own children. Only a man could do that. Another man in her family, or someone else. Some exclusions applied. And of course, we could speak at length about the situation for slaves as well. We have come a long ways, but some exclusions still apply in our culture today. Consider the context for women in Des Moines. Now, we think of Des Moines, and I think of Des Moines myself as a wonderful place to live. We are here. As far as I know, God willing, we're going to be in Des Moines from this point forward. I love it here, but that's not the case for everyone. There was a survey It wasn't so much a survey, but detailed exploration of the situation for women in the country among 256 major metropolitan areas. And when it came to the statistics of one per 100,000 of crime or safety for women, the women who are not safe or experience crime, out of 256 cities, Des Moines ranked 183, almost the bottom 25% per 100,000 people. And I sure didn't think about that. But I can guarantee you, you could go up to many women right here in the church and out in the community who would tell you today, for a variety of reasons, they just don't feel safe. We all probably have heard or read that there were women who couldn't feel safe, even in our state government. And if you can't be safe there, when can you be safe? I think of Des Moines as being a wonderful place to live. But there's an organization in town of very reputable people who've gotten together to see what it's like in Des Moines for African Americans. And they discovered that, according to one group that has studied, again, a variety of places around the nation, Des Moines is the third worst place in the United States in some factors for African American people. After Peoria and Milwaukee. I was shocked when I read that. There's a disparity of income that is unbelievable. There's a disparity of the ability to find jobs. The unemployment rate is incredibly higher than it is for white people. The household income of African Americans is less than half of white people in Des Moines, Iowa. What would you be able to do? What would they be able to do if they had an additional $26,000 of income? Gee, I wonder why. Oh, I wonder why the assistance and the minimum wage job, if you're able to find one, doesn't go to the end of the month. I wonder why some people are not able to find any employment at all. It has more to do with the structure, with the institutional racism that is in our midst, than it does the individual. Tough enough as the individual, even more so. We have a long ways to go. We've come a long ways, but we have a long ways to go right in our community, because some exclusions still apply. And if you talk with long-term African-American residents of Des Moines, they'd be able to tell you about it and what they've seen in their lives and what they've seen in the experience of others. We know that's not supposed to be the case and is not the case in the realm of God. It's not supposed to be the case in the church, which is to reflect and live into the realm of God. Everyone is included. There are no exclusions that apply. The Apostle Paul wrote, there are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different ministries in the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. Say that word, everyone. Turn to someone near you and say that word, everyone, looking at them. Those of you in the front, say it to the people in the back and vice versa. That's everyone. No exceptions. You've been endowed and energized by the Spirit with a capacity to make a tremendous difference in the lives of people you encounter and far beyond. And through the Church of Jesus Christ and the ministries of the United Methodist Church around the world, we are able to touch people globally as well. Everyone has something to share. When on one of my mission trips personally to Haiti, I was staying in a guest house where someone had brought, I think it was about 3 boxes of flashlights that were self-generating power. Now, they weren't exactly like this one, but people were so excited about them because they could take them and generate power and wouldn't have money to buy a flashlight. And if you could buy a flashlight that took batteries, you couldn't afford to get batteries all the time. But with this winding light, it may not put out much light, but many of the homes, even in the cities, don't have electricity. There's no light in the house when it gets dark outside, except maybe the lights from the city or the lights from the moon. But it would be life-changing to have just a little bit of light in the home. You may feel like you don't have much power to make a difference. And guess what? You may be right. But you can make a difference to the people who are here, one another, and the people around us every week. And God willing, as a church, along with other Christians and people of other faith and people of no faith, as we come together to change our community, for us, it means more into the values of the realm of God, of justice and equality and mercy and love. So God calls us to do whatever it is that we can do to make that possible. Did you know your body is a source of energy, self-contained? It takes energy, doesn't it, to have the organs of our body continually working, but we have, most of us have more energy to spare beyond what our body needs. It's called storing energy in fat. And most of us have more energy than we can use for ourselves. I read in Popular Science that according to this article, so it must be true, it was in print, the average person has the same amount of energy in our bodies as a one-ton battery in the world. I'm not saying you weigh a ton, but you have that much energy stored in our bodies. Somebody came up to me one time and said, "Gary, it looks like you're putting on a little weight." And I said, "No, I'm just storing more energy." And we can use that energy to reach out and make a difference in the lives of other people. How many of you know of the work that Jimmy Carter has been doing with Habitat for Humanity? How old is he? 90 what? 92, 93, somewhere around there? Now, he's blessed with health, and he's had the opportunity to maintain that health in certain ways. Not all of us can do that. But all of us have energy to use to make a difference in the lives of others. And so that's what God is calling us to do today. And you are needed and valuable in God's realm to do that in the space that you take up in this world. So let's do that. In big and small ways, let's get going to do that. No exceptions and no exclusions.